Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Nashville Hotel. We will be, I believe it's this Friday, Crazy Charlie. I think we are at the Rod Reed Tennessee State University golf outing, which we do annually at Ted Rhodes. We do that. I believe that's this Friday. Greg Pogge contacted me about that. I think that's coming up this Friday. I'm almost positive. So we'll be on the road a little later in the week. That'll be on Friday. 888-702-5494 if you're trying to check in this morning. 888-702-5494 and on Twitter at Bill is King. Email the show anytime, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. So college football over the weekend. Anything jump out at you? Anything grab you over the weekend? Are we still mad about Rick Barnes saying I'd be at UCLA if it weren't for that buyout? Are we over that? Now Griff got into it again. Did you guys see that? I think you all saw it before I did because I was not watching in real time. And actually, Karen sent me the audio clip, or somebody did, but it was all over Twitter. This is after Griff got in trouble a couple of Saturdays ago at that Georgia scrimmage, tweeting and then suggested that one of the players wasn't there, made another kind of open-ended suggestion about discipline, and then got blasted by the moms and some of the fans. Griff is on with Feinbaum. I believe this was Friday. And he suggested, maybe he went beyond suggesting, he said, because the Florida AD, which is Scott Strickland, and the Georgia Tech AD, did I say Florida? Yeah, Florida AD and Georgia Tech AD, because they were on the committee, that is why Georgia did not advance into the playoffs. That's why they didn't get voted in the playoffs. Remember, they went with Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Georgia Tech. Oklahoma. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Oklahoma. That's what they went with. Many felt like Georgia, even with the Alabama loss, and they had another loss before that. Remember, they lost at LSU. That game wasn't real pretty. But many thought that Georgia was a top four team. Frankly, I thought they probably were too. But Griff said on Feinbaum, I believe this was Friday afternoon, that because the Florida and the Georgia Tech, two noted Georgia enemies, correct? Two well known for that, among other things, because of their presence, Georgia did not make it into the playoff. They did not make it into the Final Four. And Feinbaum, of course, you got to remember now. Got to remember one thing. Feinbaum is programmed. Now, this is well before the SEC network. He's programmed by himself to take any moment where a guest says something where Feinbaum can seize that moment. Doesn't matter whether Feinbaum believes it or not. If it's a moment where he can seize and pounce, he's going to do it. And again, it's typically not about Feinbaum's sincerity. It's about the moment and the entertainment value. Did Griff just set me up where I can now absolutely pounce on him, which he did? And many of you found that very humorous because I got all those clips sent to me. I wasn't watching. I had no idea that happened. I had no clue as to how that went down. But Griff, again, back in the news. And this one totally unrelated to the other Griff. To the other Griff situation. I'm just saying. Griff is a guy making the news these days. So let me get back. When we were going to come back out of the break, we were going to talk about what went down. Here's what we had on Thanksgiving. Number one, I had about 11 people to feed. But I wanted brisket. We kind of voted on it. And brisket was going to be what we were going to feast on. But we went to Kroger. Kroger actually said they were out. So then it was Publix. Publix had brisket, but they were small. We just didn't like them. So we went to Costco. Now, here's what Costco's been doing a lot of. They'll sell you brisket on the cheap. And in this case, it was $3.99 a pound. That is cheap. That is very inexpensive. But it's a big cut of meat, too, but it's real fatty. I mean, a lot of fat. I bought one of those months ago, and we cooked it up. It was probably a 20-pounder. That is a huge piece of meat. It might have been 23 pounds because we had two. Actually, we had two of them. So it was 40-something pounds together. And although I liked it, it didn't go over well here. It was a little too juicy. If you can imagine that, because brisket is delicious. It was too fatty. And even though we trimmed a bunch, it still was just too much. It was just a fatty cut of meat. So buying it on the cheap might seem like a good idea, but actually you're not cooking up the best piece of meat you're ever going to have. You got to be careful with that. So we opted not to go that way again. And opted for a much safer result, which is ribs. With ribs, I don't think there's a whole lot of magic there. Just cook it long enough for it to get tender. Season it the way you want. Put the barbecue sauce on the way you want. Now, I tell you what, I have found that I like the Sweet Baby Ray's and also the Kansas City barbecue, which has got a little bit more vinegar in it, but those together, along with some honey, makes a very good trifecta. Makes it work quite well. So, that's what we did, the ribs. And usually go a little bit longer than 6 hours with the ribs. Maybe more like 6.5 hours plus. And that turned out well. So we started that early Sunday morning because that's about a 6.5-7 hour cook. The other thing is when you have the Rectech, as opposed to chucking wood in a smoker, which I've done that for decades too, you don't have to worry about the temperature. Because with the Rectech, you simply set the temperature literally by with a knob to wherever you want it. We set ours at 255 yesterday. And for the entire cook, and I've done this for 15, 20 hours with a big brisket too, but for the entire cook, it sat there within 1 or 2 degrees of 255. It was either on 255, 253, or 256, right in there the entire time. And I had two of them out. I had the big bull out, and then I had the RT340, which is the more portable one. Had both those going, and it was good. We had that. Now, the kids love mac and cheese. Mac and cheese, we had the twice-baked potatoes. Oh, and we had lemonade pie. That was the delicious part. I mean, just wonderful. I'm just saying, absolutely wonderful. Gator Ron, down there, Gator Ron lives down there where Fulmer's from. The Cosby Cattleman's favorite coach and AD of all time, Philip Fulmer. Ron says, Bill, I heard from an inside source that ribs was your Easter barbecue. It was pretty good. Yeah, the ribs were good. I enjoy me some ribs. Now, I'm more of a brisket guy, but I enjoyed some ribs. So, yeah, I watched the Georgia game. I noted the stats on the Miami game. Tate Martell. Yeah, Tate Martell. Looked good. What else was going on there? Anything else stick out of the Georgia game to you? Not really. Spring games. Who caught the most buzz off spring games this year? I like watching the Buckeye game because I wanted to see Dwayne Haskins. I like watching the Notre Dame games just because I love to make everybody mad and say I like to watch the Notre Dame game. So I did that. That's my Feinbaum moment. Yeah. Notre Dame game. Now, that was a couple of weeks ago. I got to tell you now, I probably anticipated the Tennessee game more than any just because of where Tennessee's been. Tennessee's not been good at football. Vols have not been efficient at tackle football. The Vols have had one moment recently where it looked like they were pretty good. That's a couple of years ago. Butch's next to last season when they beat Georgia and Florida. And it looked like they were going to take the East. They were just going to take what was rightfully theirs. They were going to grab the SEC Conference's Eastern Division and take it home. And then, of course, be a sacrificial lamb and have to play Alabama again. And get killed in that game. Less. Winning the division would have been a high moment for the Vols. That would be the first division W for them since 07. That crazy season since 2007. Now, here's a question for Vol fans. Right now, where you're at, Jeremy Pruitt heading into year number two. Are you now glad you didn't win the division? Because you know what? Would Butch Jones still have equity in the bank today if they would have won the division a couple of years ago? Remember, they collapsed down the stretch, and by virtue of default, air quotes around the word default, by virtue of default, the Gators won the division again under McElwain. Or would it Butch bottom them out anyways, and this last year would have been his last year? He would have gotten an additional year out of it, but this last year would have been bad again, and Tennessee would be Butchless. But here's the question. Would it be Jeremy Pruitt? Who would it be if things worked out a little bit different? Yeah, if Butch had won the division. And let me get my year straight. 18 was Pruitt. 17 was Butch's last year. Correct? So if in 16, Butch would have won the division after beating Florida and Georgia, that would buy him equity into 17. But 17 bottoms out just like we saw it. Who's the coach, and is the former defunct AD, who is no longer there, obviously, where is he? Is he still at Tennessee right now? Is Fulmer not in charge? Where's Jeremy Pruitt? Is he still with Nick Saban? And does Alabama have a better season than they had, even though they had the makings of an incredible season, if Jeremy Pruitt's still there on the defensive side of the ball this last year? There's another one for you. The dominoes, they're pretty interesting. If you want to play domino radio, that's some hellacious domino radio right there now. Because if they would have hung on and won the East that year, I think he would have bought at least another year of equity in the bank. I don't know if Fulmer's there right now as the AD. Karen says this morning, Bill Griff is unhinged. That is all. Yeah, but folks, you got to remember, the conspiratorial Griff is the best Griff. I don't want a pragmatic Griff. It's a conspiratorial Griff. That's the one that I dig. Primo Seats for all your ticket needs. PrimoSeats.com for all your ticket needs. Go in there and get your tickets. Any sporting event, college or pro, any day, any time, any state, any city, anywhere you're at. Doesn't matter. PrimoSeats.com. And remember, take advantage of the promo code. 5% off by putting the name Bill Isking in the promo code box, and that will get you a price break. Get you a nice price break. So if you're going to concerts, got to include concerts. Or if you're going to sporting events, remember Primo Seats for all of your ticket needs. Let's take the break, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Keeping an eye on that crash on Old Charlotte Pike in West Nashville. On 5th and Dedrick, an accident is blocking the right-of-way in front of the Tennessee State Museum. 3rd Avenue South is congested in front of the Johnny Cash Museum. And still clearing wrecks on Priest Lake at Anderson and in Creve Hall at Harding. Mayfest at Obergatlinburg. Dance around the Maypole May 17th through the 25th. Log on to obergatlinburg.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat food that's hot and meaty. You want Penn Station East Coast subs, grilled steak and onions, baked bready goodness, and fresh cut fries. Answer your craving. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro on Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For April, try the delicious chicken teriyaki sub with amazing fresh cut fries and drink at the special monthly price. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Hey folks, Jake Wild, production director here at Nashville Sports Radio. The 2019 Cougar Classic is teeing off on Thursday, April 25th at the Hermitage Golf Course, and there are still some spots available. The annual Cougar Classic helps raise money for the Good Pasture Alumni Association to help with tuition assistance for students who have lost a parent. Head over to WNSR.com and register your team or sign up as a sponsor. The 2019 Cougar Classic, Thursday, April 25th at the Hermitage Golf Course from Nashville Sports Radio. King is the king of college football, and his sample size is large. Just ask him.
Nashville Hotel. Friday, we'll be at the Rod Reed Golf Tournament, which supports the Tennessee State University football program. So looking forward to being there. That'll be at the Ted Rhodes Golf Tournament. If you happen to be in the area, that's right in the downtown area of the 615. If you happen to be down there and you want to get on by, come on. Love to see you. Here is the newest transfer rule. D1 Council adjust the transfer rule. And here's how it reads. This came out a couple of days ago, if you happen to skim over this and miss it. Student athletes in some specific situations can now transfer and compete immediately without a waiver. The D1 Council decided this past week. Incoming freshman college athletes who have enrolled in summer school and received athletics financial aid can transfer and play immediately without a waiver if their head coach departs before the first day of classes for the fall term. Additionally, walk-on student athletes on teams that provide athletics aid and non-recruited walk-ons can transfer and play immediately without a waiver. Those rules are effective for students who transfer to new schools this fall. So it does kick in. A lot of times this legislation's a year or two down the road. Kicks in right now. Make sure you understand this, though. That does not include early enrollees in January. All of you folks who have football freshmen on your campus right now who enrolled in January and have gone through spring, if the coach bails now, they are not free to, in an unfettered way, transfer. Now, they may get clearance by appealing, but the rule does not say that they can simply pack her up and go if the coach leaves before the first day of classes. Summer enrollees, freshmen, summer enrollees, you enroll in early June. You're in class. You're in the weight room with your teammates. Somehow, some way, some reason, your head football coach leaves. Again, in the summer before the season, that's usually not he takes some better job. That's usually you got a controversy, some kind of NCAA violation or something personal, or maybe it's health. But for whatever reason, if that guy doesn't make it as the head coach to the first day of classes, you as a summer freshman enrollee can pack your bags up that day and drive to whatever campus you choose and not sit out a moment. Not sit out 1 second. I don't think that's a bad rule. I'm okay with that. You know me, a lot of times when these new things come up, I'm hesitant. I think that's a good rule. There was also a rule that got rejected, and it was about grad transfers. Let me see if I can find it. Let me see if I can locate this one. It was, well, let me give you it in generalities. I wanted to read it specifically. But let me give you the general rule or idea that was floated that was rejected. And it was something like, if you bring in a grad transfer and they don't transfer in a year, or excuse me, they don't graduate, they don't get it done in a year, you get penalized somehow. That got rejected. That's not a good idea. Here it is. I was trying to find it. There's a lot of paragraphs here. The council also defeated a proposal that would have required schools to count financial aid for some postgraduate transfers against teams' limits for 2 years, regardless of whether the student remained enrolled after exhausting eligibility. This one applied to only student athletes competing at football and basketball. That was part of what we were just talking about. So anyways, that was the video. Look, if you bring in a grad transfer, that person needs to be rewarded because they graduated. Isn't that the whole point? Isn't the way you're trying to set it up? Get your degree. We want you to get your degree. So there shouldn't be any penalties there. Once you go to a new place as a grad transfer, you've already got your undergrad, okay? That's a hurdle. You've already got it. Don't place other restrictions once they get to the new place, which might make it difficult for the school they transferred to. No reason to make that messy and ugly. So I like what they did. Again, a lot of times the NCAA will come up with these new rules or these new fine print items, and I won't like them. You're legislating too much. You're overthinking this stuff. Stop it with all the legislation. Chill. We can't even keep 10 commandments right. How are we going to do this? But I like these rules. No, those are very fair. That takes care of freshmen who come in. That is a very good idea. So I've got no issues there. Southeastern Termite and Pest. 615-293-0722. Call that number up. Now, here's a couple things you're going to get. Whether it's you need termites, you need a termite job done, whether it's quarterly spray, whether it's brown recluse, whether it's you name it. Pest control, a couple things you're going to get. You're going to get attention to detail. You're going to get a good job done. And you're going to get it done for a price that makes you happy. Pricing that takes you into account. How happy and how you need it to be a certain number. That's what's taken into account there. Southeastern Termite and Pest. Give that number a call, 615-293-0722. This is the time of year. Maybe it's you need your yard sprayed because of the bugs and the insects and everything else. That's being done because the weather's changing. And how about you open up that back door and flies are getting in the house, bugs, whatever it might be. Just irritating the heck out of you. Get your yard done. It's very easy to do. And again, we take into account the pricing when it comes to you. 615-293-0722. Let's get the break here, bottom of the hour. Monday edition. Hope you had a fantastic Easter. Omni Nashville Hotel.
A crash on 24 eastbound between White's Creek Pike and Old Hickory Boulevard. A crash blocking the right-of-way at West End Avenue where it meets 24th North. And I-40 has a couple of wrecks causing massive congestion in both directions through West Hermitage, especially near the Eastern Split. Prince's Hot Chicken, the original authentic Nashville Hot Chicken. 5814 Nolensville Pike in South Nashville. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on homeowners insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you have a cute little reading nook for those rainy days when you want to curl up with a good book, but you don't even read, so you just sit in there during thunderstorms and scroll through memes on your phone and laugh in the darkness. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the dark, meme-filled corner you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
Winter's over, and lucky lawns everywhere are getting Scott's Turf Builder Halts Crabgrass Preventer from the Home Depot. Right now, buy a bag and you'll save up to $25 on a bag of Turf Builder Weed and Feed. Prevent crabgrass, weed and feed your grass, and save up to $25. Guess your lawn's not the only lucky one. Today is the day for doing, with savings on Weed and Feed when you buy a bag of Turf Builder with Halts. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. $25 savings on a 43-pound bag. Selection varies by store.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to a half million. $1 million. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Five-State Forecast.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. This morning, patchy fog, otherwise sunny today with a high of 82. Mainly clear tonight, low 56. Tuesday, sunny, high 82. Partly sunny with a stray shower Wednesday, the high 80. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
While working, he eats kale and pets a cat. Bill King is a multitasker.
Presented by the palatial, lovely, gorgeous Omni Nashville Hotel. Rod Reed. Golf Scramble coming up this Friday at Ted Rhodes. We'll be out there hanging out. 888-702-5494. If you want to get in this morning, on Twitter, at Bill is King. And email the show anytime you choose, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Remember now, the commitments hashtag is commitments, T-E-W-2, as in number 2. T-E-W is how we're spelling it, in the name of Jeff 2. And put the number D18 there, too, because that's December 18th. Hope that doesn't confuse. If it does, so be it. We like to do that sometimes. Commitments, all caps, 2 M's, 1 T, as Crazy Charlie said, T-E-W, lowercase, then big D, 1 8, because that's the date. December 18th, coming up this year. I was thinking the other day, we are 9 months out, and I'm not counting down. If somebody wants to give me the number of days, that's fine. I'm not counting down to that. I'm not breaking a show rule. Hawkeye Jason checking in this morning. Says, hey, Bill, I know that List Radio is not always good radio. But I liked how pick six previews cross-reference draft picks with wins since 2010. So this is a list. It's most draft picks since 2010 versus wins. So most draft picks since 2010, Alabama's way out in front. They got 72. And they're number one in wins since then. Guess who's next? Two SEC teams are next in line for the most draft picks since 2010, LSU and Florida. I would have thought Georgia, LSU and Florida. LSU with 59 draft picks, and they're number seven in wins since 2010. Florida with 53, and there's Florida is 37th in wins since 2010. I didn't know it was that bad for them. I figured Florida would probably be somewhere in the teens there. Okay, where are the Buckeyes? They're next. Buckeyes are fourth here. 53 picks, and the Buckeyes are right behind Alabama, the number two team overall when it comes to wins since 2010. Clemson is right there, but they're not next in line. Now Clemson is next in line if you're going with number of wins since 2010. But Florida State is next in line if it's number of draft picks. Florida State would be fifth since 2010 in draft picks. They've got 49 picks since 2010. Florida State would come in 10th in number of wins since 2010. Clemson's next. 46 draft picks since the 10 season. Third overall in W's, though, behind only Alabama and Ohio State. Oklahoma is fourth there with 46 picks since 10, number four overall in wins since then. Miami is right there, too. Now, Miami's right there with picks. This right here with Miami shows you're not well-coached. You ready? Miami's got 46 picks since 2010. That would be good for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That'd be 7th overall. Number of picks since 2010 with 46, that would place Miami 7th in picks. You know where Miami is in wins since 2010? 42. That means you're not well-coached. You can circle that and extract that out and say, that means you're not well-led. Southern Cal is next with 45 picks. See, that's not acceptable. And 21st in wins since 2010. Not well-coached. Here's another one that ought to be in the top five. Georgia since 2010, 44 picks. Number of wins since then, Georgia is 13. The beloved, everybody loves them, nobody hates them, the Fighting Irish. They have 37 picks since 2010. And wins, number 17. So there you go. That's a good list. Jason, I'm just saying. Jeff 2 says, apologies for breaking this coveted show rule, but there's 240 days until commitments. See, when I threw that out there, it was kind of like bait. 240 days, boy. Any water under the bridge analogy since then? Wow. The GOAT checking in. Man, it is fantastic to be back on the Emerald Coast. Love being down there, folks. The GOAT says, Bill, the attendance at the University of Coral Gables spring game takes the spring game national championship. There were more people, he says, at the Puppy Bowl than their spring game. I'm thinking, yeah, that's not going to be a well-attended event. Hey, Miami, now think about, you're in Miami. There's a million things to do. Most of that city's not even up by noon on Saturday morning. I mean, that is a hard-charging, hard party city. And I don't mean just Natty Light. They get into lots of stuff. They get into stuff that you and I have not ever thought of. Plus, Miami's not a big priority for the town anyways. Never has been. Even when they were winning Natties. We've gone back and looked at this, but when they're winning all those Natties, their home attendance average was about 44,000. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have a big Florida State-Miami game, this place isn't going to be a zoo. It could be, sure. But I'm talking about average attendance. About 44,000. And I don't even know if they can hold that. Yeah, that's a place that's... Miami is one of those places that doesn't necessarily support the... The more people you have there, the better you're going to be. Now, in most cases, when you have big-time programs like Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, the big SEC schools, the Big Ten schools, Texas, whatever, Texas A&M, you're going to have a lot of people those games, right? And it helps. But Miami is contrary to that. When Miami's good, and it's been a while since Miami's been steadily good. A couple of years ago, they started 10-0. We thought they were approaching their back era, but they weren't. That was fake news. The 10-0 start from Miami that year was the definition of college football's fake news. It did not predict the future. Matter of fact, the future was opposite from that. You should have faded that 10-0 if you're a better. But when they were good, because doing the show here in the South, it's always Alabama's got all these people. Tennessee's got all these people at the game. Gators have all these huge crowds. Georgia. And for the most part, when that's the case, it backs up that you're a good program. It's a frenzy, a feeding frenzy. With Miami, it's not that way. If you go to Miami, you're not going there, even when they're right. You're not going there because you went on a visit and you were at one of their games and you've never felt like that in an atmosphere before in your life. That fan base is so ridiculously awesome. I got to go there to be part of it. I've never been to an event like that in my life. That's not why you go to Miami. Lots of schools, that's part of the energy that brings kids in and has them ultimately decide. That's one of the things, not the only thing. With Miami, that's not the case. You're going because it's a tropical paradise. You're going because they do have a rich history, even though the history is not very well updated. You're going for those reasons if you're heading down that way. You're not going because the home games there are the most awesome thing ever, and the home fans just support like nobody else. It's just crazy being a Hurricane. Look at it, all the support. That is not why you make a decision like that. No. We've talked about that in the past on the show. Grant says, Bill, did you see this pick over the weekend at the Georgia game? Zeus White without pads on. Yeah, I did. Dude is all jacked up. Tell you what, he's jacked up like Nick Chubb. Now, they got to get him where he's out there and healthy to play. And they say he's trending that way. But until we see Zeus White on the field, not worrying about that knee, we can't get too excited. Jim in Jupiter, who's not that far from two things. He's not that far from Coral Gables. Jim, how far is Coral Gables from Jupiter? I'm saying you can get there in an hour and a half, but I don't live down there, so you may laugh at that. My mileage may be way skewed. I'm saying an hour and a half, depending on the traffic. And there's a really well-known massage parlor not far from him, too. Jim and Jupiter. Says, Bill, when Miami was good in the original OB, they had much better crowds. It wasn't great, Bill, but the OB was much more intimidating than the Swamp or Clemson's Death Valley. Yeah, the old OB, which had to be, it was old and dilapidated. It had to be demolition, but you're right. That place had a lot more character, and I mean just architecturally, and fan base-wise, there was something to it that they have not had since they've been in the most recent one. Do they call it Landshark now? The old Joe Robbie? Whatever they're calling. I always forget what they're calling it. And you folks always have to correct me. I always forget. Okay, let's get one more break here. as we're cruising along on the Monday edition. Omni Nashville Hotel.
A crash on 65 northbound between the 440 split and Wedgewood Avenue to the east in Western Hermitage. A crash at Murfreesboro Pike around Thompson. To the north, 24 eastbound, a crash between White's Creek Pike and Old Hickory Boulevard. I-40 and 24 west, both slow through Western Hermitage. ICU Security specializes in surveillance camera installation and service. Check them out at ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business, and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches, plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30. Catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
J&C Tree Experts, a local leader backed by years of experience, is on the air reminding motorists that children at play are never mindful of dangerous traffic hazards. Slow down when traveling through residential neighborhoods and school zones. This safety tip is brought to you by J&C Tree Experts. When it comes to tree trimming, tree removal, and stump grinding, we recommend no finer name than J&C Tree Experts. Call today at 615-427-8025. That's 615-827-8025. J&C Tree Experts, reminding you to drive safe.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. Hashtag fat side up, tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Yeah, Jim and West Palm and also Jeff too say it's about an hour and 15 minutes. Jeff too says 92 miles. Jim says I can do it in about an hour and 15 depending on traffic. Here is something I have not mentioned. We've gotten almost all the way through the second hour. Reggie Cobb passed away over the weekend. Reggie Cobb. Boy. That one took my breath away. I have so many memories of Reggie Cobb as a running back at Tennessee. He was fantastic. And ended up in the NFL, played several years in the NFL, and then was a scout. Had been a scout for a long time, passed away over the weekend. I believe he was only 51. Boy, that one was hard to take. Think about that 89 season. They had the cobweb. That was Reggie Cobb, Chuck Webb together. And that was a duo that's about as good as you're going to have. Chuck Webb, I think, is the best running back Tennessee's ever had. Ever. And they've had a bunch of them. He blew his knee the next year That was the 1990 season in the Pacific game, and he was never right after that. But those guys together, and I'll never forget. They redshirted Reggie Cobb. And, hey, Hawkeye Jason, his first game was that 87 Iowa-Tennessee opener, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that was the year. Wasn't it 87? Yes, I believe it was. And he was a local Knoxville kid. Tennessee hasn't had a whole lot of folks from Knoxville. I'm talking about volume now. Help their football program. East Tennessee hasn't been a big feeder of players for Tennessee. I can name a bunch that played there, but I'm talking about over the years, over the many, many decades. Reggie Cobb was a local Knoxville product. And here's the other thing. Reggie Cobb's senior year, which I think would have been 85-86 or 86-87, maybe 86-87. There was a running back in Knoxville at Austin East who was ranked the number one running back in America. Leroy Thompson. Remember him, everybody? Signed with Penn State. You Penn Staters, I guarantee you, our man up in Aliquippa Bob will remember that. Yeah, Leroy Thompson was the number one running back in America in that 86-ish senior class. He'd have been Johnny Five-Star. And Tennessee wanted him. Everybody wanted him. Signed with Joe Pop. Went up there. And Reggie Cobb was in that same class. Reggie Cobb was a better player. Now, I didn't think so out of high school. We only found that out in college. But, yeah, Reggie Cobb was a big-time running back. When they had him and Chuck Webb together, it was incredible to watch. Got to remember, right after that, Tennessee had Aaron Hayden, James Stewart, and Charlie Garner together. They've had, through the years, duos and trios of running backs that were devastating combinations. I think the Cobb-Webb one, and they weren't together very long, was about as good as they've ever had. And Reggie Cobb passed away over the weekend, way too young. I absolutely hated to hear that. I do. That is not something you want to see. And I believe, somebody correct me on this one, I believe he was with the 49ers. I think so. Jim in West Palm says, Bill, I've got a suggestion. Every time the streaming goes out, everybody at Commissmas 2 gets a free drink. Well, I can get you a free beer. I'll do that for you the night before. See, I've already got equity in the bank on that one. Hawkeye Jason brings up that 87. That was the kickoff classic. Keith Jackson was on the mic. The MVP was Reggie Cobb. He got 100 of his 133 yards in the second half to help the Vols make the comeback and get the win. Just saying. And Mark McGuire's brother, who was Dan McGuire, was one of the three running backs, three quarterbacks they used in that game. I remember that. Wow. Jeff in Ashland City says, Bill, I remember Cobb and I remember Leroy Thompson. He says, if memory serves me correctly, Cobb actually got drafted by Tampa Bay, but not much happened. Seems like he got into some trouble. Yeah, Cobb and Webb, their ending at Tennessee wasn't very good. There's a lot to the story. But I think Reggie Cobb had straightened out. Reggie Cobb had been a long-time, well-known, well-thought-of scout. Now, I never saw him. It's been a while since I've been hanging out in press boxes, but I never saw him scouting any events. But he was well-known a very well-known scout, and thought to be a very good scout. Wasn't he 1 year named like the Scout of the Year or something in the NFL? I think so. Reggie Cobb, Leroy Thompson. And I can tell you, again, that was the mid-80s. So we're talking almost 32-ish years ago. 32, 33 years ago. We were talking about who's going to get Leroy Thompson every day. Every day. Just like we would any other time. Recruiting back then was huge. It was huge. Who's going to get Leroy Thompson? Are the Vols going to get him? Johnny Majors does not need to let Leroy Thompson get away. And, of course, he did. Hour 3 coming up. Omdi.